Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. This is Dr. John Kreutz, and today we want to talk about the providence of God. I have heard John MacArthur say that it is God's most amazing miracle that he is providentially in control of all things, down to the details. The providence of God means that God maintains and guides and governs all things that happen. And the big illustration that John gave when he said this was talking about his wife Patricia's massive car accident. God spared her life, and in an amazing way, when her car flipped over, landed on its head. This is years ago. She had to be in a halo because she broke her neck. She had her head screwed to this halo for some time while she healed. But it was just millimeters that the metal came from severing her spinal cord, which would have meant that she was paralyzed for life, or that she couldn't even breathe and she would have gone home to heaven even at that point. Well, we want to distinguish God's providence from some of his other activities. We know that God is sovereign. He's the ruler of all things. We know that he has all power in the universe to do his will. He's wise. He has knowledge. He reigns and rules over everything. But providence is that he is controlling it and directing it and guiding all things in his creation to their end, which God has created and designed as well, which ultimately leads to his own glory. Let's think about a couple of scriptures. One of the great passages in the Bible is Isaiah chapter 40. I call Isaiah 40 a big God chapter, and it certainly highlights the greatness of God in all things. Well, in Isaiah 40, verses 22 through 26, it describes God, and we see his providence in action. When Isaiah the prophet says, "It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows on them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like the him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these, who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name. By the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing." Of course, referring to the stars of the sky. God's even in control of the burning stars millions and billions of light years away. He knows them all by name. He brings them all out because he is in control of all things. Listen to these words from Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. This is talking about the Lord Jesus. "He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." I just draw your attention again to that phrase. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. What a great God that we have who controls everything down to the details. What about your life? What about the details going on in your world? It seems like it's out of control, but we know that God is in control. Not only is he in control in theory, but down to the details, our God is at work in everything going on in your life right now. Recently, it seems like conspiracy theories have been on the rise. When you turn around and everybody is concerned about the dark, mysterious group of people governing things that are happening and working out the details in our world in ways we can't overcome them. And I decided to do a little research about conspiracies, and I read a couple of books about some of the most popular conspiracy theories. And what do you do if somebody's caught up in conspiracy? And sadly, according to these books, there's nothing you can do. Because obviously, if you try to disprove the conspiracy, that only proves you're a part of the conspiracy. You're adding to it, and you're part of the big scheme that the people are trying to cover our eyes to see what's happening in the world and all the evil that's going on. Well, my solution, as I tried to figure out how to think about these conspiracies, was to stop and go, okay, what do you do if you've got a friend or relative that's caught up in conspiracy? Well, the Bible actually has something to say about conspiracies. You remember the story about Daniel and the lion's den, right? We love the great end of that story of Daniel and God protecting Daniel in the midst of the lion's den. But if you pause and think for a moment, in Daniel chapter 6, there was actually a conspiracy going on, wasn't there? The other people in power besides Daniel were jealous of Daniel, and they wanted to take Daniel out. So what did they do? They conspired, and they met with the king, King Darius, and they came up with this evil plan that if anyone prayed to any god besides Darius, they should be thrown into the lion's den because they knew they couldn't catch up Daniel in any other way. Well, you know the story. If you've grown up in church, if you've been to Sunday school, if you haven't, wow, it's a good one. Daniel chapter 6. You should read it. Read it down to the details. But what happened was Daniel kept praying. And when Daniel prayed, they came upon Daniel. The evil conspiracy came to pass. And evil happened in the world, and Daniel had to be thrown into the lion's den. Of course, the king regretted everything, but he was trapped because at that time, when the king made a law, it couldn't be overthrown even by the king himself. And so he was stuck, and he basically had to have Daniel thrown into the lion's den and prayed that, you know, hoped and asked that God, kind of indirectly, would save Daniel's life. Well, that's of course exactly what happened. And we even see that the fruit of that was that the bad guys themselves were captured and they were thwarted and they and their families were thrown to the very same lions. We know that these lions were not strange lions who were just having a bad day with Daniel, because it says that the bad guys, the conspirers, didn't even make it to the bottom of the lion's den before the lions had devoured them and smashed them to pieces, broken their bodies up, and eaten them alive. Well, what do we take away from that? Are there conspiracies in the world? Yes. There are. It's a fallen, evil world. But God is sovereign even over the conspiracies. God, in his providence, allowed the bad guys to conspire and to succeed in their efforts to get Daniel thrown to the lion's den. But within God's sovereign plan, he used the conspiracy not only to protect Daniel and preserve his life, but to testify of his own greatness to King Darius, who ended up testifying about the greatness of the one true God, even though he was the king of a pagan people in a pagan land. And he used the conspiracy to get rid of all of the bad guys as well. So what do you do if your friend is caught up in a conspiracy? What do? If you kind of are buying into some of those things that people are calling conspiracies, well, you just keep pouring theology into your thinking. Okay, maybe there is a conspiracy. Maybe this group is trying to overthrow the world order. Well, what is God doing? Where's God? He's at work. He's in control. He's powerful. He's wise. He knows all about it. Nobody is pulling the wool over God's eyes. And guess what? Not only is he aware of all things happening, he is governing all things happening. That doesn't mean he's the author of sin, but he even allows sin to accomplish his greater purposes. No greater proof of that fact than the cross of Jesus, because there is no more greater sin than crucifying the Son of God, but there is no greater glory for God than what God accomplished at the cross. Well, we have to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about God's providence more and how this applies down to the details of our lives.
All right, you're listening to Integrated, and we'll be back with more from Dr. John Krotz in just a moment. And as we've been diving deep into God's providence today and how he's intimately involved in every detail of our lives, it reminds me of something extremely important, and that's that theology isn't just for the seminary classroom. It's for your everyday life. Speaking of which, have you checked out The Attributes of God by A.W. Pink? It's a book that every Christian should have on their bookshelf. Pink's not giving you just a bunch of theological head knowledge about God. He shows you how understanding God's attributes should transform your daily walk. It explores God's decrees and foreknowledge and sovereignty, his holiness, his grace and mercy in a way that's super practical for not just pastors and teachers, but everyday believers like you and me. And it's available right now in the store at fortisinstitute.org. And I cannot recommend it enough. And speaking of applying theology to real life, have you heard about becoming a Fortis Insider here at Fortis Institute? As a Fortis Insider, you're going to get exclusive access to daily content delivered straight to your email. We're talking about articles and videos and podcasts and so much more. And all of this content, well, it will help you apply biblical truths to the crazy stuff happening all over the world right now. Plus, you're going to be the first to hear from our new team of voices here at Fortis Institute. Oh, and did I mention it's free? That's right. Everything we're doing, all of this content that we're producing here at Fortis Institute, it's not a paid subscription model. No, it is absolutely free. Head over to Fortis Institute right now, sign up to become a Fortis Insider, and get all of this content delivered straight to your email inbox every single day. And I know some of you are wondering, Jimmy, it's free? How in the world are you funding all of this? Well, that's a great question. And that's where our gospel partners come in. If you believe in what we're doing here at Fortis Institute and you want to help us continue providing these resources, would you prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Because it's the support of our gospel partners that allow us to continue producing solid biblical content to equipping believers to live out their faith in a world that desperately needs it. You can learn more about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now at fortisinstitute.org. All right, well, that's enough for me. Now let's get back to our discussion on God's providence with Dr. John Krotz. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It's more than being a knower of the truth. It has to be knowing and doing.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Krotz.
Welcome back to Integrated. This is Dr. John Krotz, and I want to welcome you back for our conversation about the providence of God. John MacArthur says, this is the most amazing miracle of God. Not that God is changing around the ordinary things of his creation, but that God is governing and guiding and directing the ordinary things of his creation, all of the details. He's accomplishing his will. He names the stars. He brings them all out. He keeps them in their pathways every day, every hour, down to the details. And this is incredible. I want to take you to a story in the New Testament that is a beautiful picture of God's providence so that we can continue to get this reality in our thinking. As we look at the world around us and things seem to be crazy and out of control, it is so important for us to keep pouring in theology, integrating the truth that we know from the Bible in our thinking about life. Well, here's the story. Matthew chapter 17. And I don't know if you've ever thought about this story as a possible theology lesson, because it is an unusual story. All right, Matthew 17, starting in verse 24. When they came to Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma tax went up to Peter and says, "Does your teacher not pay the tax?" He said, "Yes." And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do kings of the earth take toll or tax, from their sons or from others?" And when he said, "From others," Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free. However, not to give offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up. And when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and for yourself." What a great story. What a wonderful story. It seems almost offhanded that Matthew is recounting the details of this story, but it's such a great story to show us the power of Jesus, his knowledge, his divinity. But I think it's a remarkable story demonstrating and illustrating the providence of God when you think of all of the details. Now, we want to just start as we read the story. We're not trying to read into anything, but we are asking questions and making observations from the text, what Matthew says to us. We wouldn't assume that the sovereign God created this coin in the fish's mouth. I mean, why didn't Jesus just say, "Look, what's in your ear, Peter," and pull out the shekel coin? No, it was a demonstration of God's providence. So if God, the Father, had created out of nothing, as the theologians call it, ex nihilo, just like God created the universe in 6 days, out of nothing. If God had created this shekel coin out of nothing, ex nihilo, and put it in the fish's mouth, we would call that a miracle. But instead, we're calling this God's providence. I think that's the better way to read this text. This is just an illustration of God's providence. He was governing and controlling all the things down to the detail. So let's think of all of the different things that had to happen for this act of God's providence to occur. First of all, someone lost a coin. All right, they lost a coin in the Sea of Galilee. It's possible that they were just skipping stones and ran out of stones and decided that they would skip a shekel coin. I don't know why they would do that. A shekel was like a day's wages for a common worker, so you wouldn't just want to flip it into the Sea of Galilee. So we assume someone lost a coin, but not just any coin, the exact coin. Do you know that the shekel was the equivalent of the 4 drachmas, right? 2 drachma tax was what everybody had to pay. So 2 drachmas is half a shekel. So 1 shekel would pay the temple tax for both Jesus and for Peter. So it was the exact right coin that was lost in the Sea of Galilee at just the right time. Then a fish came along and swallowed the coin. All right, how did that work? Did the fish have to get the coin off the bottom of the sea? Or was the coin going down, down, down to the bottom and the fish caught it in his mouth at just the right moment? We don't know, but we do know in God's providence, he guided the right fish to the right place at the right time. So this fish had to be big enough that his mouth could get the shekel coin in it, but not too big because the shekel coin got stuck in his mouth or it stayed in his mouth. How did that work? I'm not good at fish anatomy and all of those things, but I do think it's pretty amazing. So God's already at work, right? In these ways. But then God had to bring Mr. Fish with the big mouth, with the coin in the big mouth, right to the edge of the Sea of Galilee at just the right time that Peter goes from Jesus to the sea. And I just as we read it, again, we don't want to overly speculate because Matthew's point isn't to give us every single detail that happened, but I did think it was kind of interesting that the way it describes it, he says to Simon down in verse 27, go to the sea and cast a hook. It doesn't even say that Peter used bait. Now, again, that's speculation. He could have used bait. Peter was an experienced fisherman. He didn't ask Matthew to go fishing for coins. He asked Peter, the fisherman, to do it. So maybe that implied when it says that he cast a hook, that he put some fish food on that hook as well. Don't know. But Peter throws the hook and the line in. The path of the fish was ordained by God, who's providentially governing the fish's path to the hook. The fish finds the hook. The fish gets hooked by Peter. Not just any fish, big mouth fish with a coin in his mouth gets hooked. Now, I've had many experiences where I've been fishing and the fish nibbles at my hook but doesn't get caught. And of course, that goes providentially to my inability to catch fish very well. But Peter, the experienced fisherman, knew just what to do. He hooked the right fish. He pulled him in, and there was the shekel waiting for Peter to pay the tax guy. And maybe he kind of liked it that the tax guy was getting a fishy shekel for his taxes. I don't know. I know people today sometimes fuss about their taxes. God tells us that we are to pay our taxes with joy because God uses the government to protect and preserve our lives and to promote welfare in our community and to punish the evildoers. And so we should rightly pay taxes. So this, of course, was a special tax. This was for the temple and the upkeep of the temple. And this had been going on for a long time for the people of Israel. And so they paid this temple tax with the shekel that God in his providence brought out from big mouth fish that God guided right to the hook, right to Peter at just the right time. God is supernaturally at work. He is working all things according to his will, all around you, all the time. What's the application for us today? Don't worry. Don't be afraid. I mean, again, we talked in the first segment about conspiracies. What if the bad guys are conspiring this day to mess up our country or to mess up your life and your family? Well, you know what? Sometimes in a fallen world, there are people that gather together for malicious purposes. But God is sovereign over all of those things. God is using those things. Don't be afraid. Don't worry as you look at your life. Let your heart be filled with faith. Let your heart believe God is at work. So the Bible tells us so clearly that we need not to just know the truth of God, but we are to do the truth that we know. God's providence is revealed in Scripture. I don't just want you to know it. I want you to do it. And the way that you do this truth means that you won't be afraid and you won't be worried as you look at the events of your life. Have a great day. Trust in the Lord. Do God's word. We'll see you next time on Integrated.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreutz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.